"'Tis a pity. Master?" Death stood with a third glass in his hand, staring thoughtfully at the play of light across its surface. He sighed. "One so young. Are you feeling all right, Master?" said Albert, his voice full of concern. "Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its—" "Master!" "What?" said Death, snapping out of it. "You've been overdoing it, Master. That's what it is." "What are you blathering about, man?" "You had a bit of a funny turn there, Master." "Nonsense, I have never felt better. Now, what were we talking about?" Albert shrugged and peered down at the entries in the book.
"Goody's a witch," he said. "She might get a bit annoyed if you sent Mort."
All practitioners of magic earned the right, once their own personal sands have run out, of being claimed by Death himself, rather than his minor functionaries. Death didn't appear to hear Albert. He was staring at Princess Kaylee's hourglass again.
"What is that sense inside your head of wistful regret that things are the way they apparently are?"
"Sadness, Master, I think.
Now, I am sadness."
Albert stood with his mouth open. Finally, he got a grip on himself long enough to blurt out,
"Master, we were talking about Mort."
"Mort who?"
"Your apprentice, Master," said Albert patiently. "Tall young lad."
"Of course. Well, we'll send him."
"Is he ready to go solo, Master?" said Albert doubtfully.
Death thought about it.
"He can do it," he said at last. "He's keen, he's quick to learn, and really," he added, "people can't expect to have me running around after them all the time."
Mort stared blankly at the velvet wall hangings a few inches from his eyes. "I've walked through a wall," he thought, "and that's impossible." He gingerly moved the hangings aside to see if a door was lurking somewhere, but there was nothing but crumbling plaster, which had cracked away in places to reveal some dampish but emphatically solid brickwork. He prodded it experimentally. It was quite clear that he wasn't going back out that way.
"Well," he said to the wall, "what now?"
A voice behind him said,
"Excuse, please."
He turned around slowly. Grouped around a table in the middle of the room was a Clatchian family of father, mother, and half a dozen children of dwindling size. 8 pairs of round eyes were fixed on Mort. A 9th pair belonging to an aged grandparent of indeterminate sex weren't, because their owner had taken advantage of the interruption to get some elbow room at the communal rice bowl, taking the view that a boiled fish in the hand was worth any amount of unexplained manifestations, and the silence was punctuated by the sound of determined mastication. In one corner of the crowded room was a little shrine to Offla, the 6-armed crocodile god of Clatch. It was grinning just like Death, except, of course, Death didn't have a flock of holy birds that brought him news of his worshippers, and also kept his teeth clean. Clatchians prize hospitality above all other virtues. As Mort stared, the woman took another plate off the shelf behind her and silently began to fill it from the big bowl, snatching a choice cut of catfish from the ancient's hands after a brief struggle. Her cold-rimmed eyes remained steadily on Mort, however. It was the father who had spoken. Mort bowed nervously.
"Sorry," he said. "I seem to have walked through this wall."
It was rather lame, he had to admit.
"Please," said the man.
The woman, her bangles jangling, carefully arranged a few slices of pepper across the plate and sprinkled it with a dark green sauce that Mort was afraid he recognised. He'd tried it a few weeks before, and although it was a complicated recipe, one taste had been enough to know that it was made out of fish entrails, marinated for several years in a vat of shark bile. Death had said that it was an acquired taste. Mort had decided not to make the effort. He tried to sidle around the edge of the room towards the bead-hung doorway, all the heads turning to watch him. He tried a grin. The woman said,
"Why does the demon show his teeth, husband of my life?"
The man said,
"It could be hunger, moon of my desire. Pile on more fish."
And the ancestor grumbled,
"I was eating that, wretched child. Woe unto the world when there is no respect for age."
Now the fact is that while the words entered Mort's ear in their spoken Clatchian, with all the curlicues and subtle diphthongs of a language so ancient and sophisticated that it had 15 words meaning assassination before the rest of the world had caught on to the idea of bashing one another over the head with rocks, they arrived in his brain as clear.